gum or Joba, sunny and warm Market Street. This is BillBot.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from the main branch of the beautiful San Francisco Public Library in the Tenderloin. Today is Thursday, the 15th of May, 2014. On this date in 1648, the Treaty of Westphalia was signed. You should know what this is, by the way. It's important, so look it up. 1755, Laredo, Texas was established. 1756, the Seven Years' War, or as it's known in the U.S., the French and Indian War, officially began. 1800, the U.S. government officially moves from Washington, D.C., to Washington, D.C. from Philadelphia. 1856, the Second Vigilante Committee organizes in San Francisco to deal with the problem of marauding Australian criminal gangs. 1869, Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton form the National Women's Suffrage Association in the United States. 1905, Las Vegas, Nevada is founded. 1911, the U.S. Supreme Court declares Standard Oil to be an unreasonable monopoly under the Sherman Antitrust Act and orders the company broken up. 1935, the Moscow Metro is opened to the public. 1940, McDonald's opens its first restaurant in San Bernardino, California. 1948, the Arab-Israeli War begins, otherwise known as the Nakba. 1972, Alabama governor and presidential candidate George Wallace is shot and paralyzed. 1973, Nolan Ryan pitches his first no-hitter. 1988, the Soviet Union begins its withdrawal from Afghanistan. Birthdays today are authors L. Frank Baum and Catherine Ann Porter. Read Ship of Fools, by the way, fabulous book. Mayor Richard Daley, Madeline Albright, Kathleen Sebelius, and Brian Eno. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen. Thanks again for those posting to our forum, particularly Jody. And I quote, "For those who didn't have half an hour to listen to the Studio Monitor report a few weeks back, here's the print version of the story that will curl your hair. There's some nasty stuff being burned in Georgian car engines and truck engines." End quote. Be sure to check this out. This is one of the best, most useful, and most disturbing pieces of investigative journalism ever done in Georgia. It really is great. We will repost this week so you can take a look. If you'd like to comment or question, ask a question on our blog, go to tabealpod.com or send us an email at tabealpod@gmail.com. We have introduced a new feature, tabealpod.com's database, which has resources for non-natives living in Tbilisi. We'll try to keep it up to date. But if you have new resources, you can post them to our forum, and we'll update the categories. Even the most seasoned veterans will learn a few new things. Check it out at www.tabealpod.com/database. President of the European Council, Herman Van Rompuy, visited Tbilisi on the 14th of May. He emphasized that establishing a close relationship with the EU is the best guarantee for Georgia's security. Prime Minister Garibashvili said that the signing of the EU Association Agreement, which will be on the 27th of June, will take Georgia-EU cooperation to a new level and make Georgia's European integration irreversible. Following up on last week's story about alleged government wiretapping of a Rustavioti news station, Georgian Dream representative said that claims by Rustavioti head Nika Gvaramia that he and his staff are under police surveillance were made up to help UNM in the upcoming local elections. The prosecutor's office launched an investigation into the alleged wiretapping and published an interim report a few days later. The report includes a statement from Timur Kovziashvili, who was head of the security service at Rustavioti. Kovziashvili said that he was fired on the 7th of May, the day after the investigation started. He provided the prosecutor's office with recordings from the TV's company's surveillance cameras that are from the 21st of December 2012 and clearly show employees of the Special State Protection Service, which was then subordinate to MISHA, present at the Rustavioti building and using special technical equipment to plant surveillance devices in the offices of Nika Gvaramia and well-known anchorwoman Nino Shubladze. According to Kovziashvili, after the visit by the Special State Protection Service employees, he discovered traces of secret audio-video devices installed on the roof. He informed Gvaramia about it, yet told him, who told him not to worry and continue working as usual. On the 10th of May, Rustavioti aired portions from what it said were secretly recorded phone conversations between both current and former high-ranking officials, MPs, and businessmen, which the TV channel said prove that illegal wiretapping is taking place under the current authorities as well, which everybody already knew from tapiopod.com. Thank you very much. A new Rustavioti news group, Different Accents, which is dedicated to discussing illegal government surveillance practices, aired audio recordings of phone conversations it said were provided by an anonymous source. According to the program, the audio recordings were made in 2013 and feature phone conversations between Parliament Speaker Dato Zupashvili and then Secretary of the National Security Council Giga Bokeria, Defense Minister Irakli Alasania, and Bokeria, Zupashvili, and then mayor of Tbilisi, Gigi Ugulava. In these, there was nothing really too earth-shaking. Mainly, it was about the Tbilisi budget, a trip by Misha to Afghanistan. Other conversations were of Georgian Dream member of parliament Dato Saganalidze and businessman Roman Pipia, Georgian Dream MP Gela Samkharauli, and businessman Mamia Sanadiradze, as well as Shalva Ogbaidze, a member of Nino Borjanadze's party. On the 13th of May, anchorwoman Nino Shubladze quit Rustavioti. She said that her decision had nothing to do with politics, but was connected with her family and personal life. For the second year in a row, Georgia will not hold a military parade on its Independence Day on the 26th of May, a tradition honed during Misha's rule. The schedule for events hasn't been announced yet. I would just like to say that I really applaud this decision. The military parades, as well as all the militaristic videos the UNM created, were creepy and bad. Most notably, the one with all the little kids in uniforms that the Interior Ministry did. Remember that one? That was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Misha, after they lost the elections, said, when asked what he would do over again, he said, spend tons less on the military and put all that money into foreign scholarships. And they tore up the streets, all of those little military parades, by the way. Let's remember the reason for the 2011 demonstrations. Misha wanted a military parade. The Borjanadze crew knew that she could pay some goons to occupy the area, and Misha would be provoked into beating them up on camera to get rid of them just because that's the way he was, which is exactly what he did, and he should not have done, which was what he should have done was cancel a military parade and then held a ceremony in the youth palace next door where the Constitution was signed in 1918 anyway, saying that the parade was canceled in order to prevent violence. Oh, well, what could have been? According to Cafe Galleries manager Violeta Kolbaya, police officers came to the cafe requesting the names, phone numbers, and addresses of the LGBT people working at the cafe. The Cafe Gallery administration did not give police any information about their workers. Before the police officers left the cafe, they threatened the staff not to talk about police being there or else they would break their computers. Violeta said that the police officers commented to the cafe's head of security that on the 17th of May, he will have to fight. By the way, if you haven't been to Cafe Gallery, which is right across from the Radisson Hotel, for those who don't know, they have really great pizza and salads, all right? It really is a fantastic restaurant and not so expensive. So it's not only a good bar, nightclub, and venue, but a great lunch and dinner restaurant. Be sure to go there, leave a giant tip, and let them know it's designated for the LGBT employees. The prosecutor's office brought a new charge against former defense minister Dato Kezereshvili. Kezereshvili is accused of abuse of power and embezzlement of state money. Investigators say he issued a decree in January 2008 to sign an agreement with Gerwood Business Corporation, a company registered offshore in the Virgin Islands, in order to embezzle state money. The agreement was for Gerwood to conduct combat training for subunits of the defense ministry, a project that cost 5 million euros. Over 2.3 million lari were transferred to an account held by the Gerwood Business Corporation as an advance payment. Investigators argue that the agreement was fake and that there was never any training, and that a fake report was written by the defense ministry regarding the alleged training. If convicted, Kezereshvili may face 7 to 11 years in jail. As a reminder, Kezereshvili was detained in October 2013 at the airport in Nice. Georgia called for his extradition, but the French government refused. A new poll published by NDI shows that Patriarch Ilya II remains the most liked person in Georgia. 96% of those polled say that they like Ilya II. 67% say that they like Defense Minister Irakli Alasania, while 64% like Prime Minister Irakli Kharibashvili, which is 7% less than the number in 2013. 61% say they like Speaker of Parliament Dato Usupashvili, and 51% like Kahi Kaladze, the energy minister. 51 say they like BI. This is down from 74% last November. 46% say they like President Georgi Margvelashvili, while 72% said that they liked him this past November. 23% said they like Misha, 24% said so in November 2013. The poll was conducted from the 26th of March through the 18th of April, face-to-face interviews with a nationwide representative sample of Georgians, including 3,942 completed interviews. Asked about the Tbilisi's mayor race, 39% of likely Tbilisi voters polled said that the Georgian Dream's Dato Narmania would be their first choice for Tbilisi mayor, followed by UNM's Mika Melia with 10% and Dmitry Lord Kipanidze, the homophobic dingaling, a candidate for Nino Borjanadze's led coalition, getting 9%. Still pretty close with UNM's Nika Melia with 10%. The Georgian Dream Coalition named 25 majoritarian candidates for the 15th of June local elections. There are lots, but we'll go ahead and read them anyway, since you may know some of them. The candidates for the Tbilisi area are Jaba Gishkariani, head of the youth organization running in Isani district, Giyomush Khvelishvili, Free Democrats, first deputy chairman of the city council, Gocha Babunashvili, Georgian Dream Party, former head of Mark Velashvili's election headquarters in Vake, Shorena Bukharashvili, National Forum member, Givi Chinchladze, part of the Georgian Dream and singer in Khartuli Khmebi, Dato Zurabashvili, Republican Party and previous Deputy Minister of Education, Beka Natslishvili, Georgian Dream, member of the Social Democrats for Development, Ilya Gishkariani, Free Democrats, and also worked at the municipality of Mscheta, Irakli Absuridze, Georgian Dream, captain of the Georgian National Rugby Union team, Zura Neparidze, National Forum member, Ia Makharashvili, Georgian Dream member, Levan Darekvalidze, Industry Will Save Georgia member, Guliko Zumbadze, Republican Party, Chairman of Georgian Dream Tbilisi, Leah Jakhveladze, Free Democrats, Head of the Samgori Organization, Rima Beradze, Georgian Dream, Chief of Chukureti Organization, Dato Zneladze, Industry Will Save Georgia member, Tarash Shurgaya, Georgian Dream member, David Chelidze, Georgian Dream member, Givi Goglidze, National Forum member, Zaza Koliashvili, Georgian Dream, actor, director, screenwriter, producer, and production designer, Jaba Samushia, Georgian Dream, professor at Faculty of Humanities at Tbilisi State, Koba Kobaladze, Georgian Dream, Major General in the Georgian Army, Nino Goguadze, conservative member, Murtaz Shelia, Georgian Dream, former leading footballer, and Keti Johadze, conservative member. Ministry of Foreign Affairs summoned the Turkish ambassador to Georgia, Levant Gümrükçü, to allow him to convey his government's negative stance regarding the visit of a large group of Turkish journalists to Abkhazia. From the 9th to the 12th of May, about 80 members of the Federation of Turkish Journalists visited Abkhazia, holding the Federation's 44th assembly there, as well as holding the first Congress of Turkish and Abkhaz journalists in Suchumi. The journalists entered Abkhazia via Russia, which violates Georgia's law on occupied territories. The law states that foreign citizens can only enter the breakaway regions via Georgian territory. On the 8th of May, UNM held an indoor campaign rally in Tbilisi Sports Palace, flying Georgian, EU, and Ukrainian flags. UNM leaders told supporters that the party is experienced, but also energetic, renewed, and reformed. Member of Parliament Gio Vashadze sent greetings to Misha, saying that he is now in Ukraine, reinforcing Georgia's positions there, end I quote. In his speech, MP Dato Bakradze called on the authorities to lower income tax to 15%, to scrap excise tax on fuel, and to introduce a five-year moratorium on imposing new economic regulations. Not much new there, just the usual libertarian stuff. I mean, and from what I've heard, no apologies whatsoever. For example, everybody's all a slather about how people are listening in on stuff. They've still got a tap on all of the mobile phones, servers, and all of this Rustavi Ori stuff. But the fact that the UNM did this and then released all of these phone calls right before the parliamentary elections a year and a half ago or whenever it was, nobody seems to have said anything about that or feel that that has any meaning here. Now, I'm not saying it's okay for the government to be doing this now, but on the other hand, for UNM to criticize the government for doing it now, when their abuses, when they started it and did that themselves, doesn't really seem particularly forward-looking. Following on last week's story about the UNM's ballot number struggle for the local elections in June, the CEC will allow UNM to use the number 5 on the ballot papers. The CEC made the decision by order of the civil court. Our spies in the court order of powers indicate that they listened to last week's podcast and were concerned about an international backlash. So 5 is back. And that's an important decision. And it says a lot about the independence of the CEC and the courts, because the UNM will pick up many votes because of that they would not have gotten otherwise if people had to figure out a new number, many, many thousands of votes. And if they really wanted to change that, it seems like somebody had had the ability to make a decision that was very much to UNM's advantage. According to journalist Irma Inashvili, UNM will make a film about the prisoner abuse scandal of September 2012. As a reminder, 2 weeks before parliamentary elections, video footage was leaked showing prison guards abusing inmates. According to her, the film will be aired by Rustavi Ori and will show that the events captured on the tape were staged. On the 13th of May, French President François Hollande visited Tbilisi. He praised Georgia's progress and reiterated support for the country's territorial integrity and European aspirations. During his 7-hour stay in Tbilisi, President Hollande met Member of Parliament Irakli Garabashvili, delivered a speech at the French-Georgian Economic Forum, and held talks with his counterpart, Mark Velashvili. The French president stressed multiple times during his visit the importance of Georgia's decision to contribute troops to the EU military operation in the Central African Republic. A branch of the French Development Agency, which provides development financing, will be established in Georgia. The two governments signed an agreement on the 13th of May in the Georgia-France Economic Forum by Minister of Finance of Georgia, Nodar Khadouri, and Fleur Pellerin, Georgia's Secretary of State for Foreign Trade, Tourism, and French Citizens Abroad. On the 9th of May, members of a group called Eurasian Institute put up a bust of Stalin in his hometown of Gori, in the same spot where the Stalin statue stood before it was dismantled in 2010. The group previously made headlines in Georgia by organizing a film screening about NATO's war against Serbia in 1919. It's considered to be a pro-Russian organization, as is the word Eurasia is now beginning to have the meaning of being pro-Russian as opposed to the EU, which means pro-Western. Or, if you're one of the pro-Russian Eurasian types, meaning pro-homosexualism, but okay, anyway. Later in the day, the bus was removed by the order of the Gori City Council and taken into an administrative building. A film premiere in Tbilisi was postponed due to fear and threats that holding the premiere might be seen as an attempt to destabilize the country. Otto Micheladze and Dato Bejitiashvili, the director and producer of the film We Are Mad, about a gay couple in Georgia, planned a premiere for the 17th of May, the International Day Against Homophobia. But after receiving several threats anonymously on Facebook, they decided to postpone the screening of the film. On the 13th of April, the Union of Orthodox Parents, a radical Christian group, held a demonstration in front of the old parliament building on Rustavelli Street in Tbilisi and demanded the public screening of the new movie be banned. Just after noon on the 14th of May, 3 shots were fired and wounded writer Mamuka Hercheulidze after he emerged from his apartment near the Entree Cafe on Petriashvili. The police cordoned the area off for investigation. The shooter is unknown. We will update you when we have more information. On the 11th of May, Patriarch Ilya II announced that this year, the 17th of May, will be a day to celebrate family values and respect for parents. According to him, the whole nation must unite on this day and pray, and he told clergy to conduct prayers at 12 noon on the 17th of May. 17th of May last year, a small group of gay rights activists marking the International Day Against Homophobia in Tbilisi were attacked by a large angry mob which included members of the clergy. Georgia's main LGBT rights organization, Eden Toba, previously said that it would not hold a public rally on the 17th of May this year in order to minimize potential conflict. Instead, Eden Toba has launched a new website encouraging people in Georgia to celebrate the International Day Against Homophobia through more creative channels online, which Eden Toba would then share on its site. World Bank is launching a new four-year country partnership strategy for Georgia that will see $1.2 billion lent to the government of Georgia. The alleged focus is extreme poverty and growth. The proposed engagement will focus on strengthening public service delivery to promote inclusion and equality, enabling job creation and competitiveness to enable private sector-led growth, or so they say. Let's see. There's a whole lot of enabling going on there, and let's see where the money goes. This year, Georgia will join a competition recognizing the country's best entrepreneurs. For 2014, the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year competition will be held in 145 cities in more than 60 countries around the globe. Anyone associated with a successful entrepreneur can nominate a candidate for the competition. Applicants must fill out the application form before the 1st of June. The winners in different categories, as well as overall country winner, will be announced by an independent jury. Application forms can be accessed at www.ernstandyoung.com/US/EOY. Financial Times wrote about the details regarding TBC Bank listing their shares on the London Stock Exchange and notes that an initial public offering, or IPO, is expected in the second quarter of this year. According to the newspaper, second quarter of this year is up pretty soon, so we'll have to see. According to the newspaper, the bank will gain approximately $100 million in capital. TBC Bank is the second Georgian bank which will trade shares on the London Stock Exchange. Bank of Georgia has already been listed there for a while. The biggest change will be much greater levels of transparency required of the bank for them to list in London. On the 9th of May, Georgia marked the 69th anniversary of Victory Day, celebrating Nazi Germany's surrender to the Soviet Union, ending the Second World War. Veterans of the Second World War gathered at Bakke Park to lay wreaths at the memorial of the unknown soldier. More than 750,000 Georgians served in the Second World War, with more than 300,000 killed. Latest census data reveals that almost 2,200 World War II veterans in Georgia are still alive. For a comparison, approximately the same number of Georgians and Americans were killed during the Second World War. For the first time since 1996, Austria won the Eurovision Song Contest on the 10th of May with bearded transgender performer Conchita Wurst, jazz singer Mariko Ebralidze, and The Sheen represented Georgia this year with their song 3 Minutes to Earth, but they didn't make it to the finals. Based on the European Broadcasting Union's suspicions of fraud regarding the votes of the Georgian jury, the jury votes were disqualified, leaving it solely to the televote to decide the country's votes. All members of the Georgian jury ranked all 25 songs in exactly the same order, an action deemed statistically impossible by the European Broadcasting Union. And that's just gross and depressing that Georgia would cheat in that way. Parliamentary news, the Sector for Defense and Security Committee considered amendments submitted by Member of Parliament Shalva Shavguledze for various codes, including the Criminal Code of Practice, the Code for Operative Investigative Activity, Personal Data Protection and e-Communications, the Codes for Rules of Procedure. According to the draft amendments, e-communication companies should be obliged to immediately destroy personal data pertaining to their clients, except if the information is used by intelligence bodies to seek missing persons. The Healthcare and Social Issues Committee considered a draft code on imprisonment with the first reading. New paragraph 51 will be added to Article 118 in the Code of Imprisonment, allowing for alternative treatment programs for incarcerated persons addicted to opiates or painkillers, if there's a joint ordinance from the prison and health ministries. In Kvitis Azrebi this week, Ilia State University philosophy student Guri Sultanishvili talked about tolerance, arguing that in Georgian society, tolerance is selective. The notion of cohabitation that existed in Georgian politics this past year should not be applied to the societal relations, which instead should focus on true tolerance and an active understanding of others' perspectives. The meme this week is a photo of Queen Tamar Airport in Mestia, which was nominated as one of the 10 most beautiful airports in the world by the BBC. Mestia is a small ski town, well, now a small ski town, formerly just a small town, 1,500 meters up the Caucasus Mountains in the Svaneti region in northwest Georgia. Its churches and forts are a UNESCO World Heritage Site. The bizarre new terminal, constructed of squares of steel and glass bent into three improbable directions, is the work of the German artist and architect Jürgen Meyer Hermann. It is ugly and poorly made, as anyone who's actually been to the airport can tell you. Clearly, the judges have not been there, but have just seen the publicity photos. Things to read: an article on jumpstart.ge about implementing the open government partnership in Georgia. According to the article last week, the Ministry of Justice hosted a series of civil society-oriented meetings to discuss the first draft of the second action plan it prepared for the open government partnership. The only conclusion that stands out is that the emergency services decision to add tow trucks to the assortment of tools at its disposal was not the most appropriate item for the Open Government Partnership Action Plan to include. An article by political scientist Gia Nodia, an all-around smart guy, for Tabula about mainstream and marginals and how these terms are used to both describe and attack people and opinions in Georgian society. An article on agenda.ge about the village of Mutso, a popular destination for tourists and mountain trekkers in the Chefsudeti region of eastern Georgia. The medieval castle town is listed as an endangered historic monument and earmarked for major rehabilitation. Mutso is located on a rocky mountain at a staggering height of 1,880 meters above sea level. Because it is so difficult to access, the village maintained its original architecture, making it a popular destination for adventure enthusiasts from all over the globe. Article by the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia, by Anna Dabrudashvili, about the popularity of the internet in Georgia. According to the article, Georgia is still struggling with low internet penetration. Almost half of Georgia's population remain off the net, according to a survey conducted by CRRC for TI Georgia in late 2013. To get a better sense of the internet users' growth dynamics and habits, among other issues, CRC conducted 1,900 face-to-face interviews with Georgian adults throughout the country. An article in OysterMag.com by correspondent War Dandy, waxing poetic about Tbilisi Fashion Week, a so-called, and I quote, crumbling Soviet city, where one Prada's loafers march around Tbilisi's Freedom Square just like dreamy Joseph Stalin proletariat boots. Tbilisi Fashion Week, a so-called crumbling Soviet city where one's, and I quote, Prada loafers march around Tbilisi's Freedom Square just like dreamy Joseph Stalin's proletarian boots did when he was named Josip Besarion's Jugashvili and was robbing bank stagecoaches for Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, end quote. Dandy meets organizers of the Fashion Week, explores Georgian style, and also manages to discuss politics. It's written in that, look how wild this all is and how cool I am for being so in the middle of it, yet so blasé about it, type style. One thing to watch, an emotional video reportage by Eurasianet.org journalist Georgi Lomsadze, who interviews the surviving victims of Stalin's purges. Really, watch it. All these things to read will be posted on the forum. This week's geocapital number is 8%, which is the increase in the number of international tourists coming to Georgia between January and March 2014 as compared to in the same period in 2013. 1 million international tourists visited Georgia in total between January and March 2014, according to Geostat. For comparison, the number of foreigners arriving in Turkey in the first quarter of 2014 was only 0.6% higher than in the same period in 2013. This year, the total for the first quarter in Turkey was 1.8 million tourists. That's pretty impressive that Georgia has more than half the number that the Turkey has when you consider the size of the countries and the infrastructure that Turkey has. Anyway, Amidani Movie Theater announcements. Amidani Movie Theater close to Philharmonia started daily screenings of English movies this week until the 21st of May. You can watch The Other Woman at 2:50 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. Godzilla at 8 p.m. For the month of May, Dom Kino across from Rooster Valley Movie Theater will be showing on Friday, the 6th of May, Murmur of the Heart. Saturday, the 17th of May, Pretty Baby. Sunday, the 18th of May, Goodbye Children. All movies start at 7. The next Works in Progress will be on the 21st of May at 6:15 p.m. Chase Sotomayor from the University of Arkansas and NSEP Boren Fellow will present U.S.-Georgian Education Exchange, A Recent History. The address is number 3 Kafsadze Street in Vake. On the 14th of May at 4 p.m., the Institute for European, Russian, and Eurasian Studies at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. will host a presentation of Katie Chumbadze's research, Two Decades of Transition in Georgia, Facilitators and Hindrances in the Foreign Dimension. Address, Vosser Conference Room Suite, 412 1957 East Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., RSVP to go.gwu.edu/Chumbadze. Somebody tell her she needs to get a better name for that thing. On the 16th of May at 4 p.m., the British Georgian Society will host a talk by the UK Ambassador to Georgia, Alexandra Hall Hall, in London. Address is Colliers International, 50 George Street, London, W1U as in uniform, 7GA. RSVP to info@BritishGeorgianSociety.org. On the 19th of May at 4 p.m., the EU-Georgia Business Council will hold a seminar about prospects of EU-Georgia Association Agreement, DCFTA, and discuss tariff and non-tariff barriers in trade with the EU. Address is the National Library of Georgia, number 7 Gudiashvili Street. Working language is Georgian, but English translation will be provided. Due to limited spaces, you should confirm participation at info@eugbc.net. If you've not cast your vote in the election for the European Parliament 2014, you can vote at the Swedish Consulate in San Francisco through Thursday, the 15th of May at 12 noon. Address is 505 Sansom Street, Suite 1010, San Francisco. Email is sf@consulateofsweden.org. One day, Georgians, you too will be voting in EU elections. From the 29th of May till the 1st of June, Expo Georgia will host an international book fair. Different publishing houses will present books and offer promotions. You will be able to meet famous writers and poets. Address is number 118 Tsedatelli Avenue. Everybody go to that. It's really a lot of fun, very interesting. And, of course, Radharami will be there as always. A reminder, on the 3rd of June, 7 p.m., pianist Khatia Bunitashvili will perform in London at Weatherby School. There will be a welcome drink on arrival, and then after the recital and conversation, reception with Georgian wine and canapes, a chance to meet Khatia. There will be a charge of £15 for the event. You can book by emailing tickets at mcsyaf.com. That is Mike Charlie Sierra Yankee Alpha Foxtrot.com. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email is tblpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tblpod.com. And we'll finish with Laverne Baker's 1956 hit, Jim Dandy. Feeling a kind of blue. Jim Dandy, he's the kind of guy. Never
speak.